Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and gittin is Lamed Gimel. We're on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Thanks to the Open Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf as long as Zechon is Masli Begarvela Bashmuel. We're starting at the two dots, Birishana, how you owe them. Started yesterday, the fourth paragraph of the Masechta, in which we talked about Shlichus Haget. And again, as the Shlich has been the topic since the beginning of Masechta, but here we turn our attention, we're focusing on Shlichus, and we're also focusing on the Bitul HaShlichus. So the husband decides that he's going to divorce his wife, and then makes a new decision, and that is he's not going to divorce his wife. So he's Mevatel. So yesterday we went over four different scenarios in which Bitul can be done. Either he goes to the shliach, or he sends the shliach to the shliach, or he goes to the wife, or he sends the shliach to the wife. You know, four different scenarios in which he can be mevatel shlichus, and he nullifies. The Mishnah points out, however, that's not how it originally was done. Originally, you didn't have to intercept. You didn't have to go to the shliach. You didn't have to go to the woman. You just assembled the basin together, and you're mevatel in front of the basin. Now, back then, when communication was not what it is nowadays, so that means then that you are nullifying the get, but she doesn't know about the get, and that can create some significant problems. We're going to talk about those problems today. But so Rabbi Gamliel made a takana in which no longer can you do this bittul in front of a beis din. So originally bittul could have been done in front of a beis din, even though the wife didn't know about it, even though the shlich didn't know about it, or even though that could have been done in min d'oraisa, that's effective. But nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel was mevatel. He was mevatel the bittul. He nullified the nullification. That's the tekanah of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, so a number of things to be discussing. So we start off with the Gemara today on the bottom of Lamed Beis, and the Gemara starts off Itmar bifnei kamahu mevatlo. Now before tekanah Rabbi Gamliel, so you can be mevatel the get. All you need to do is assemble together a beis din, and a beis din of what? So without the Gemara, I would have said that the magic number would be three. Three is a minimum number of a beis din. Okay, we know that a mumcha can judge by himself as a single entity, but nevertheless, so right, we're learning the third parak of Sanhedrin. So but the minimum beis din is three. So I would have said three. You would have said three. No, I'm not going to say what you would have said, but okay, I'll tell you what I would have said. I would have said three. So Edomar bifnei kamu mevala, Rav Nachman amar bifnei beis, Rav Sheshes amar bifnei gimel. So there's a machlokus amarayim between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says two. Rav Sheshes says three. Now Rav Sheshes amar bifnei gimel beis din. So Rav Sheshet's position, very easy to defend. The Gemara does not spend much time doing so. It says Beis Din, and Beis Din by definition means three. Rav Nachman, Amar Bifnei Beis, Le Beitrei Nami Beis Din Kara Lahu. So Rav Nachman also says that, he also agrees that it's a Beis Din, but two can qualify as a Beis Din. Okay, there is a lengthy discussion, Tosfos over here has it, in terms of a Beis Din comprised up of two. Right, there are opinions in the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, there are Machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, whether two can effectively judge. And is Rav Nachman dipping his toe into that water? And is he getting involved? Sorry. Yeah. Is Rav Nachman dipping his toe in that water? Is he getting involved in the Gemara in the Machlokas over there in the Gemara Sanhedrin? So to see Tosfos for a discussion of that point. In the meantime, however, Machlokas Amarayim, whether or not the Bittul is done in front of two or three. Now remember, so right, you have to remember where there's before the Tekanah Rabbi Gamliel and after the Tekanah Rabbi Gamliel. Right now we're discussing what was it originally before the Tekanah Rabbi Gamliel, meaning how it was Bittul done effectively. So the way it was done once upon a time is in front of a basin. How big a basin? Machlokas. So I'm Rav Nachman Menami Nalu did not. So Rav Nachman says, so let me support my position. Right? His position is harder to support. It's more challenging. So let me support it with a Mishnah in Shavuos. The Mishnah says, V'hatnan most lefnechem ploni ufloni hadayanim shabem makom ploni. So he quotes the Mishnah in Shavuos. Now the Mishnah in Shavuos is just simply giving us the institution of principle, which parenthetically, by the way, is coming up in a couple days from now. Our Gemara, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, is going to be discussing the institution of principle. So, but we're quoting it right now for one simple reason. The Mishnah, when giving us the language of the Prizbol, so how does it describe it? So, the Mishnah says, Mosrani lefnechem, so he's basically giving over the debt to them, the Beis Din, ploni ufloni. So, how many plonis are mentioned in that Mishnah? Two. Only two plonies are mentioned. Malcolm Plony is the name of the place. So there's only two people there. So you see, basin over there is comprised of two. V'Rav Sheshes. Now, what's Rav Sheshes going to say as a counter? Very simple. Atu Tana ki ruch alech shavalezel. What you want the Tana? Do you want that Mishnah to just say Plony, Plony, Ufloni? Right? That's really what you want the Mishnah to do. The Mishnah is like a peddler, where the Mishnah has to spell everything out. No. In other words, the Mishnah is just citing an example, and the Mishnah is just Rashi Prakim. It's just first words, but it doesn't mean that just because it says Ploni only twice, it means two. No, of course it means three. I'm Rav Nachman Menami Nala Dinan. Rav Nachman says, now I'm going to support my position. And my position is that there only needs to be two. Why? Again, we're going to go now back to the same Mishnah. The same Mishnah over there reads, Adayanim Chosmim Lamato O Ha'edim. And who's signing on the bottom of the Prusbul document? So it's either going to be the judges or it's going to be the witnesses. That's the Mishnah, once again, in Shvius. So my love, Dayanim Dumi Ade'edim Ma'edim Shnaim Abdayanim Nami Shnaim. So again, the Gemara is assuming, well, look, don't you see in that Mishnah there's an equation between judge and witnesses? Now, you know, witnesses only mean two. Judges also only mean two, right? Rav Sheshes, Midiria. Rav Sheshes' response is, no, it doesn't mean that. Midiria. When we're talking about Edom, it's two. When we're talking about judges, it's three. So, Lama Lamisna Dayanam, Lama Lamisna Edom. Okay, so the question now for Rav Sheshes is, if you're right, why did the Mishnah have to say that? What was the point of that Mishnah telling us that you can have either the Dayanam or the Edom? Why Mishnah could just simply say, and you'll have them sign on the bottom? So why mention both? So Akamash Milan, Deloshna Kasab Loshan Dayanim Vechasma Edim, Veloshna Kasab Loshan Edim Vechasma Dayanim. So the Gemara says the Mishnah's Chiddush over there is just simply the following. Let's say there's not an agreement between the way this group is presented and who actually signed it. Now let's say, for example, the Prusbul was written, and it says, and I'm standing in front of the judges. And who signs on the bottom? Let's say the two witnesses sign on the bottom. There's no agreement between the presentation that these are judges and meanwhile they're the witnesses. That's all the Mishnah is telling us. The Mishnah is telling us is that even though we don't have that kind of agreement between the way they're presented and who's standing on the bottom, that's okay. That's all the Mishnah is saying. But the Mishnah, of course, is not telling us that when they are witnesses, there are two, the judges are also two. No. Witnesses are two, judges are three. Okay, so question, how when Bittul was done originally, in front of what kind of group are we talking about? So it's about Chalukah between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. So Rav Nachman says two, Rav Sheshes says three. Now, Mimnei Tikkun HaOlam. The Gemara now is about to begin to get into a very big discussion, important discussion. This is the Gemara. The Anomen Gemara, so to say, is our Gemara right over here. Gemara is going to ask a very simple, well, before we get to the underpinnings and the quote-unquote, the really big stuff, the Gemara now is going to be discussing what was Rabbi Gamliel's concern. So I already constructed a scenario in which you can easily understand what the concern is, although, as we're going to see right now, the Amoraim are going to argue what exactly was the concern that prompted Rabbi Gamliel to make the Takana. So the Gemara says, "My mimnei tikkana olam, Rav Yochanan mimnei takanas mamzeret." So Rav Yochanan says the issue is an issue of mamzeres, meaning we don't want to be a proliferation of mamzerim amongst the Jewish people. What's going to end up happening is that she received a get. What does she know? She thinks she's divorced. She'll remarry. She'll have children in the new marriage. But meanwhile, the husband was mevatel. She didn't know about the husband's bittul. So the children are going to be mamzerim. So so Rav Yochanan says that's the problem. Reish Lakish Amar Mimei Takanos Agunos. And Reish Lakish says no. The issue is not an issue of mamzerim. The issue is an issue of agunos. An issue of agunos. What exactly is the concern of agunos? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, this Rashi is, truth be told, a little bit further ahead in the Gemara, but could read it now so we understand what the Aguna issue is. Rashi says, "Takanas Agunas hu deika deitzrichinu leilech acharav o l'shloch shlich v'hu lo yitrach b'chol eile b'shvil la'agna." So what can end up happening is that she'll be in a state where she received the get. He was mevatel the get. Now, after he's mevatel the get, what does he need to do? He needs to inform her. I mean, he needs to tell her. So now, let's take a look at it from her side. From her end now, she has a get, but there is this possibility, a chance, that the get was or was not a valid get because the husband could very well have been mevatel the get. Now she's in a state of, I don't know, am I married or am I not married? Anytime a woman is entering that state of being married and not married at the same time, that's called an aguna. Reish Lakish says that's exactly the issue. That's the reason why Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. Now, Rav Yochanan, my minute, takanas mamzerim savalak Rav Nachman. Now, what the Gemara is going to do is make an alignment between this machlokus we just learned, meaning why did Rav Gamliel make the takana? What was the concern of Rav Gamliel? And line it up with the machlokus that we saw in the beginning of today's daf. When you're mevatel, you have to do it in front of two or in front of three. And now the Gemara is going to create an alignment between these two machloksim. So, Rav Yochanan, Rav Netakanus, Mamzerus, Savalak, Rav Nachman, Damer, Bifnei Shnayim. Rav Yochanan says the issue is Mamzerus, so he's going in accordance with Rav Nachman, which is that the bittel only needs to be done in front of two. V'chit, trei, leisle, kala. So, and now that bittel was done in front of two, so that creates, that doesn't create a kol. In other words, we're now in a position where the matter is not going to be publicized. And it's because it's not going to be publicized. So he was mevatel, she didn't know about it, and now she's going to remarry based on the fact that she got to get it. And the children, of course, are going to be mamzerim. V'hi lo shama v'lo yadava azla mitzvah v'ika mamzerim. So Rav Yochanan is in alignment with Rav Nachman that bittul is done in front of two, not three. Since it's done in front of two and not three, therefore there's no kol. Because there's no kol, she doesn't know that the get was nullified, and she'll remarry. Okay, that is... That's Rav Yochanan being aligned with Rav Nachman. What about Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish amar mipnei takanas agunos, and Reish Lakish says that the issue is the issue of aguna. Several karev sheish is amar mipnei gimel. So the issue is that it was done in front of a basin of three. Ube tlasi slukala. So vishama vianda v'lomim sava. So in terms now of her remarrying, she's not going to remarry because the bittul was done in front of three. The bittul was done in front of three. So that now means that. She'll know about it, meaning she'll know that the divorce was not affected. In fact, the divorce was nullified. She now understands, she heard about it, she understands it. She's not going to remarry, but takanas agunas u'di'ika. But now the issue is the issue of aguna, because now she's going to be in the state of being married and not married, meaning she just got a get, but the get was mevutal. And she heard about it, so she knows that she's not married. On the other hand, she's not with her husband; they're effectively not married, even though they are technically married. They're effectively not married. She's now an aguna. So Reish Lakish is in accordance with Rav Sheshes.
But if she has to get, wouldn't she ask for the?
It's not a get.
No. But once she gets the get, she would come and ask for what she's deserving. As part of it.
Okay, and eventually everything
will... That's where she'll know.
Eventually the things will clear up, but that's eventually. In the meantime, however, she'll get... according to Rav Yochanan, she'll get remarried. In other words, she'll collect the money another time. The money doesn't have to be collected right away. Money could be collected 2 years from now, 5 years from now. The money will be collected sometime in the future. But right now she wants to remarry. So according to Rav Yochanan, the problem is she didn't hear about it. And because she didn't hear about it, so therefore she's going to remarry and effectively produce mamzerim. There's an interesting Tosfos over here. The Gemara says, in other words, in terms of lining up the Shitos, so now we have Rav Yochanan going in accordance with Rav Nachman, and we have Reish Lakish going in accordance with Rav Sheshes. Tosfos points out, the Gemara said something which, generally speaking, doesn't seem to be correct. The Gemara said that two people don't produce a kol. Meaning, three people produce a kol, two people don't produce a kol. So that's why, if you maintain that it's done in front of three, she's going to hear about it. If you maintain that she's done in front of two, that the bittul was done in front of two, then she won't hear about it. Meanwhile, what do we know? Every time that you have a loan, and the loan is signed by witnesses, all you need is two witnesses. So now, what do we say regarding that loan? It's a documented loan, and it creates a lien on the property. Why does it create a lien on the property? So we say time and again throughout Shas, it creates a lien on the property because buyer beware, meaning that anytime you have a buyer of that property who is now about to who is about to buy that property, so he has an obligation and an expectation that he's supposed to know that there is in fact a lien that exists on this property. And why do you know that? Because there was a document, because when the seller, prior to the sale of the property, when the seller borrowed money, so he borrowed money with a note. And there were two witnesses signing on the note. And what do those two witnesses on the note produce? They produce a kol. And so that everyone knows that there was a loan. So Tosfos says that in the world of leans on property to create a kol. And meanwhile, our Gemara over here says that two does not create a kol. In order to create a kol, you need three. So Tosfos is bothered by that. Tosfos answers very simply. Third Tosfos down on the Amud, halfway down through the Tosfos, the Hadam Ha'achad the Beitrei Leislei Kala, over here, Agamar says that two doesn't produce the coal. And meanwhile, Gabe Mocher Sadeo Be'edim Amrina Be'cheskes Sabatim, in the third parak of Baba Basra, the Govim Nechas Meshubadim, over there you can collect from encumbered properties, meaning there is encumbered properties, because once again, the expectation is that once you sell, and you do so with title, and there are two witnesses, those two produce the coal. So Tosu says, "Hacha bi'inan gilui milsa tfei." So the Gemara says, "Okay, there are basically volumes to the kol in terms of buying and selling, in terms of transaction of property. Okay, there's a kol. It's not a big kol, right? And anyway, what do we say to the buyer of any property? Buyer beware, meaning the voice isn't that loud, but you got to investigate. Meaning you got to look for that voice. In other words, you got to do a title search. You got to make sure to find out that there's no lien on the property. Over here, the woman received a get. What does she think? She thinks she's divorced now. So there, you need to manufacture a big kol. Meaning you need three people in order for there to be a reasonable expectation that she heard that despite the fact that she got a divorce, the divorce is not a divorce.
You're dealing with DNA nefashos over there. This is nominal. I mean, should we think there's a difference between the two girls? Two people is okay for a guy.
I guess so. Tosfos is just wondering, is there, in other words, in going into the question, Tosfos assumed that there's one threshold of kol. That's it. In other words, either there is a kol, there isn't a kol. And what Tosfos now is suggesting is no, it's not one threshold. It depends on what the topic is. And that's where you need either a larger or a muted kol.
I mean, in case I forget, this is not the Sharia situation. It's that the woman got the get, and then the husband goes to the...
Not after she gets it. After she gets it, the Mishnah told us that's it. Story's now over. We have arrived at a conclusion. It's only the bittul only works before the get gets into her hand. That's the only time the bittul can effectively work. Okay. Interesting machlok is coming up right now in the Gemara, and that is the following. Okay, we are now in the post-Ramin Gamliel Takana period of time. To this very day. And that means that Rabbi Gamliel says that even though the husband sends a get to his wife, so even though the Torah recognizes that he can nullify the get prior to getting into her hands, so even though he can do that, Rabbi Gamliel says, no, he can't. And the reason why is for the reasons that we just outlined. Issue of Mamzerim, issue of Aguna. So Rabbi Gamliel says, no, he can't. Question. I know Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you can't. And what if I do? Testing the limits of the Takana of Ramin Gamliel. And what if I do? So Rebbe says, so Batlo Mivutal. So Rebbe's of the opinion that in the post-Ramin Gamliel era, in which he says that you shouldn't do it, so of course you shouldn't, right? Mitzvah Lishmol Divrei Chachamim. You gotta listen to the Chachamim. We all have to. But nevertheless, if you do it, it's effective. The Bittul is still effective even though Ramin Gamliel says don't do it.
Right.
He was Rabban Gamliel. He was a leader of the Jewish people. It wasn't just
representing
everyone. Yeah, he's
like the president.
Correct. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer in Yochel Olavatlo V'lo LoHosif Al Tanai. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, of course not. Meaning, of course his bittul is going to be ineffective. Once Rabbi Gamliel made it to Kana. And that takana is that we no longer can affect bittul. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you can't do it. Meaning, not only shouldn't you do it, you can't do it. In fact, ma koch beis din yafeh. The argument that we're going to hear a number of times today is, because imagine that Rav Gamliel made a takana that we're no longer going to be mevatel. Okay? And still it's yet effective. Well, then what kind of takana Rav Gamliel said? What kind of teeth is going into the takana Rav Gamliel if meanwhile... If you did it, it's effective. Well, no. If you did it, it's not effective. Otherwise, we don't have a takana. Okay. So now that means that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, in his understanding of Rabban Gamliel, that now means that if in the post-Rabban Gamliel era, a man was mevatel a get, the get, even though Minatora, the get is mevutal, but the takana is such that the get is not mevutal. Okay, I know it's you got to follow the on off switch. Meaning the Torah says that the get has been diffused through the husband's bittul. Raman Gamliel says, I know the Torah says the get's diffused, but you know what? We reactivated the get. Okay, that's the takana of Raman Gamliel. So now what an oddity! It comes out now that min haTorah the get has been fact been diffused, which means that she is still a married woman. And yet, through the Takana of Raman Gamliel, comes out now that the get is effective, she's divorced, and she can go now and remarry. And the Gemara is going to ask, and here comes the question of the day. So that means on a Torah level, the get is mevutal, and then, and because of this argument of that the Chachamim are given the power to make takanos, and in order to give that takanos teeth, their takanos are going to override a din to araisa. Sharina and Eshes Ish Alma, she is, from a Torah standpoint, a married woman. And now the Chachamim are going to say, yeah, but we want our takanos to have teeth in it. And therefore, we're going to reactivate the get. How does that work? How can on the Torah level, the get not be a valid get? And the Chachamim are now going to activate such a get? How can they do that? So in the Gemara, the answer goes as follows: called Mekadosh Adaita the Rabban Mekadosh, Va'afkina Rabban LeKedusha Minei. Gemara's response is that when a person is Mekadosh, he's doing so Al Das Rabbanon. He's doing so with the consent of the Chachamim, and therefore, what the Chachamim could do is retroactively remove the Kedushin from him. What we would call here in English annulment. Basically, what the Chachamim can do is, under certain circumstances, they can annul a marriage. Now, generally speaking, we're not believers in annulment. Meaning, we've said from day one of our Masechta, we're going to see it in day one in Kedushin. Right, there's three ways to get into a marriage, and only two ways to get out of marriage. The only two ways to get out of marriage is death and divorce. And meanwhile, what now we're discussing is this idea of annulment.
Annulment from the beginning.
Oh, okay, Eddie, very, very good. Okay, stay with me, Eddie. It's too early to ask that question, but that's the right question. Stick it out for just a little bit. So that's what the Gemara says in terms of what's happening over here. So effectively now, even though the Torah acknowledges that the get was mevutal, what the Chachamim are now essentially doing is that even though the husband deactivated the get, and that deactivation works on a Torah level, but what now the Chachamim basically can do is they take the rug and remove the entire rug. Meaning that since the marriage was all predicated on Das Rabbanan, so therefore what the Chachamim could do is they could remove the Kedushin. Now when the Gemara says Al Das Rabbanan, that it's Adaita de Rabbanan, so both Rashi and Tosfos both seem to be of the opinion that this is consent of the husband going into the marriage. Right? Rashi writes, Adaita de Rabbanan Mekadesh, so Leos Kedushin, Talin, Leos Kedushin Chalin Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael Shein Higu Chach Me'Yisrael. So it's done by the law of Moshe V'Yisrael. In fact, that's the formula that the husband says when he presents her the Ketz of Kedushin. And therefore, now that you're under the umbrella of Chachme Yisrael when you're getting married, so that means that since the Kedushin is going Al Das Chachme Yisrael, so then they can just simply remove it. Hilkach Pake Sh'amenas Ken Kedusha. Rashi says, Amenas. Amenas, what does that mean in general throughout Shas? Tonight. There's a built-in stipulation condition when you go into every marriage that I'm doing so, but only with the consent of the Chachamim. Tosfos says nearly the identical point. Tosfos on the fourth Tosfos on the Amud called the Mekadesh Adai to the Rabban Mekadesh Ulekach Omer B'Shas Kedushin Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. That's what a person is generating when he says Kedash Moshe V'Yisrael, that this marriage is only sustaining with the consent and the will of Chachmei Yisrael. So it seems to be from Rashi and Tosfos that this is the husband's, so to say, buy-in agreement, so to say, at the beginning, at the front end of a marriage, that I'm doing so Al Das Moshe V'Yisrael. Okay, the Gemara, let's go on in the Gemara. There's a lot to discuss here. I'll just hit some of the most basic points. So the Gemara, mi ikamidi. I know I read that. I'm going to reread it again because I want to get onto the whatever. It flows. So Ravina says to Ravashi, let's get this straight. That when a person marries, he does so with the consent of the Chachamim. And therefore the Chachamim can, if necessary, remove the entire marriage, the entire institution. Now we know that there are three ways that a man can affect Kedushin. One is through money and the other is the Bia. Now there's a third, of course, Shtar. Oddly enough, the Gemara doesn't discuss Shtar over here. But let's focus on what the Gemara does discuss. The Gemara says it can be done with money and it can be done with Bia. I can understand how the Chachamim are effectively going to remove Kedushin if the Kedushin was done with money. Because we know, as a basic rule, whenever it comes to money, what the Chachamim have the power to do is divest you and I from our money. They have that power to do that. It's called Hefker based in Hefker. We're going to see in just a short couple days from now. The Gemara and Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin are going to discuss it extensively. So we know that they have that power to do so. So if the Kedushin was affected through money, so fine. Now I can understand, I can envision how the Chachamim have the right to basically remove the entire Kedushin. Because of this principle of Hefker based in Hefker. However, if Kedushin was affected with Bia, now we're going to learn together in the beginning of Masechta Kedushin that even though Bia is an effective way to affect Kedushin, nevertheless the Chachamim didn't like it. It was not appropriate. In fact, Rav Mangir Amanda Mekash Bibia, Rav was very, very unhappy. Give a nice explanation of the Gemara over there. He was very unhappy of anyone who was Mekash B'Bia. But the Gemara is asking now, Bia is an effective way to create Kedushin. And now, what are the Chachamim going to do about Bia? Meaning, when it comes to money, so then, money, you can have it, and they can take it away. So then I can understand. But if the Kedushin was done effectively through Bia, how can the Chachamim remove the Bia? How does that work? So the Michael Amemar, Shaviva Rabban Labialosa Bilosno. So the Gemara's answer is they could do it. What they can do is they can't change the past. The fact of the matter is that there was Bia, but what they can do is they can change the intent of the Bia. Right? The original intent of the Bia was to affect Kedushin. So what they can do is that they can effectively change the intent of the Bia so that the Bia is going to be a Bialasnus, not one that affects Kedushin. Okay. What I just presented is the Gemara according to Rashi. In fact, take a look at Rashi inside. A very basic Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi bilas nus daafku shem kedusha mina. They remove the shem kedushin. V'yesh bem koch lekach sharei kishikidesh aminag chok datam kidesh. Rashi repeats what he said earlier, and that is the look. When anyone enters a marriage, he's doing so with the consent of the Chachamim, and that gives the Chachamim the right to, in the case of money, remove your money from you, meaning effectively remove the Kedushin, and even in the case of Bia, change the intent of the act of Bia. They can't change the act of Bia, but change the intent that went behind it. Kach, just give me a second. Kach ani mafarsh b'chol makom alibi. Now Rashi says this comes up a couple of times in the Gemara, and when this Gemara comes up, this is the way I explain the Gemara. Rashi says, this is my understanding of the Gemara. However, me rabu saiki balti kol de mekash adet de rabbanan mekash de kedusha kesef de rabbanan. Rashi says, however, I will be honest with you, I've heard a pshat from my rebbeim. Rashi's rebbeim offer the following pshat. Rashi, as you'll see, I'm not going to go through the entire Rashi, but Rashi does not like this pshat. Rashi says that his rebbeim say that when a man is mekadesh with kasef, that's only a kedushin de rabbanan. That's a din de rabbanan. That's what the Gemara was asking. If I make kaddish with kesef, I understand how the Chachamim can undo it, because anyway, that kedushin is a kedushin de rabbanan. So mekash kedusha kesef de rabbanan deloksi behejja ela garmina kicha kicha mistei afron. And anyway, the Torah never says that a man marries a woman with money. That is learned out through gzeirah shavah, which we're going to see in the beginning of Masechta Kedushin. So Rashi's Rebbeim say, that's a din de rabbanan. It's not beferish in the Torah. V'hanu de kaparach, tenech de kash bekas, bekash bebiya, dechsi behedja, ki yikach ish isho bala Michael Amemar, heich yaku lakor davar min haTorah. And that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. If a man's mekash bekesef, that's a din de rabbanan, fine. Fine, the Chachamim can undo that. But if a man's mekash bebiya, Bia is in the Torah. Affecting Kedusha through Bia, That's Beferish. That's Beferish. So how can the Chachamim do that? And to that, the Gemara gives the answer to Mishani. Shaviv Rabban Labilas Bilas Nushal shall call Mekash Bebia Kedah Amar Hasam Rav Mangin Aman the Mekash Bebia Mishum Pritzusa. Okay, so the again, just give me one second. So that's the Shakla Vitaria according to Rashi's Rebbeim. Rashi, I'll just present to you Rashi's first question. Rashi asks multiple questions on this pshat because what essentially Rashi's Rebbeim are saying is that when a man is mekash bekesef, which is, by the way, that's how we all do it, or every right, the minhag Yisrael is to be mekash bekesef. So it's not kedushin d'orais, it's only kedushin d'rabbanan. Rashi says, number one, tshuvas kashrus yesh bedavar. Chada, the gzereshav agufa, torihi, sherei lalam du miskal, and elab gzereshav, venosur shubakars, mekzereshav lamanu, venarum. So Rashi says, I don't understand. Gzeira Shava creates a din d'oraisa. Rashi cites a number of examples where you find that Gzeira Shava. In other words, it's Yud Gimel Midrash, Atar Nidreshes Bahem. This is the 13 principles of how the Torah is learned. These principles are generating halacha on a d'oraisa level, not on a d'rabbanan level. So it's true. Of course, Kesef is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. And it is learned out through Gzeira Shava, Kicha Kicha. That's all true. But that doesn't create a din d'rabbanan. That creates, doesn't create. It is a din d'oraisa. It's one of the ways that the Torah Shabbat Peh, it produces, it's not a production, but that's the way it reveals Dine D'Oraisa. So we know that a woman who's Mizana, Rashi asks, a woman who's Mizana coming out of Kesef Kedushin, it's adultery. It's a capital offense. And you want to tell me that Kesef Kedushin is only Din D'Rabbanan, and meanwhile she's going to be put to death for adultery? It cannot be. Rashi simply cannot tolerate such a pshat that Kesef of Kedushin only creates a din d'rabbanan. Together with this Rashi, the next step on this Rashi is to quote the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam in the beginning of Ishas, the Rambam over there writes, it's the second halacha. First parak, second halacha, again, very popular discussion, very popular Rambam. Rambam says that there are three ways to affect Kedushin. So I don't have a Rambam in front of me, so please forgive me, I'm not quoting it directly. I'm just paraphrasing. The Rambam says that there are three ways to affect Kedushin. Two of them are from the Torah, and then the Rambam says, and one of them is Medivrei Sofrim. That's the Lashon HaRambam. So the two that are from the Torah, that's Beyond Shtar. The one that's Medivrei Sofrim, that's Kesef. So the right, whatever. And then the discussion goes on. What did the Rambam mean by Divrei Sofrim? Did he mean like Rashi's Rebbeim that's only Din D'Rabbanan? Hard to imagine. There's a lot of discussion about that. But anyway, with this Rashi, you always fits in the Rambam in the beginning of Ishas. Okay, thank you.
If the Rabbeim were able to cancel the intention, because the intention is a two person, it's not the Rabbeim that's going to go with the intention. So any other head, they can change that.
Any
other intention for any head, they can change that.
That's why I think Rashi and Tosfos are very focused on the idea that when a man goes into marriage, he's stating explicitly, I'm doing this with the consent of the Chachamim. Meaning it's a condition that is built into the fabric of marriage. That when a man gets married, bia by itself is nothing. Bia by itself, bia in the context of kedushin means bia l'shem kedushin with adam being outside. But in other words,
he
says it. It's an articulation. In other words, and that articulation,
correct.
That's the way Rashi and Tosfos seem to present it. That it's because the husband articulates that I'm doing this with the consent, so therefore they have the right to remove. Okay, we still have another half of the daf to go, but just one other very basic topic to discuss, and that is this application of kin rabbanan kedusha mineh. So the Gemara just taught us that according to Rabbi, no. Say it again. I'll say it better. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, so if you're mevatel the get after the takana of Rav Shimon Gamliel, so your bittel was nothing. Meaning your bittel, even though min haTorah it worked, but the Chachamim were able to undo the bittel. So they were able to undo the bittel. How? Through this procedure of what we just learned of Afkin and Rabbanan Kedushin Minei by uprooting the Kedushin. Good. So the Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question, and that is, to what degree, how far is this going to be applied? This principle of Ke'in Rabban Kedusha Mineh. So Tosfos says, Hikshu Rabbi Shmuel. Next Tosfos, fifth Tosfos on the Amud. Hikshu Rabbi Shmuel, the Hecha Mechayvin, I'm sorry, I didn't start from the beginning of the Tosfos, although that's also a good place to start. So the, one of the Balei Tosfos asks, "Heichem mechayvin alol lemisa eshasish shazinsa va'asra safeki d'shemi shachla gevi yivat lenu." Meaning, once we open ourselves to this Pandora's box of there's a possibility, there lies a possibility that the marriage may be annulled under these circumstances. So then, a woman commits adultery. How is she ever going to be? How is she ever going to be put to death? Meaning, there's going to be a warning. The warning is issued. You are a married woman. You're about to commit adultery. It's true that she's currently a married woman, but may end up being that the husband's going to send her a get, annul the get, nullify the get,
right.
And then, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Chachamim are then going to annul the marriage. So then that means that, turns out that she wasn't married. So the warning that's issued to her that you're a married woman, it's what's called Hasra Safik. It's a warning that's issued as a Safik. And and probably you thought of this already. Tosfos also is bothered by the fact that another basic issue, and that is that once we have a means of annulling a marriage, so let's say a mamzer was created, obviously it's a disaster, it's terrible, shouldn't have happened, but once it happened, so now don't we have the solution? Meaning, the solution is going to be, so you're going to be mevatel, the husband will be mevatel the get, which will then force the chachamim to annul the marriage, and okay, and then, right, and then the mamzer is no longer mamzer, because the child was not a product of an act of adultery. Okay, so these are obviously powerful questions that Tosfos asks. The Omer Rabbein Tam. So Rabbi Natan gives an answer, although to be fair and to be honest, this really only answers the first question, not the second question. Rabbi Natan says, yeah, but we also have a principle of rov. How many times is this going to happen? The answer is very infrequently. So in the case of issuing a warning to a woman who's about to commit adultery, so it's a possibility that the get will be given to her and the husband is going to nullify the get, which will force that's all possible, but it's really unlikely. And so therefore, we're not going to call this a Hasra Safik. That's Rabbeinu Tam's response to the question. Although, to be fair, again, to be honest, that doesn't seem to answer the second question of Tosfos, meaning that we have now a way of correcting an issue of mamzerus by going through this mechanism. At the end of the Tosfos, he writes, "Umashi hikshim ken yichapa basachos v'chol mamzer litahir I yidina shel kach miskaven lo mefkein kedusha minei dila takana asu chachamim v'lo letakala." Okay. So Tosfos gives a very big yesod in terms of this whole institution that we're learning right now. That what the Chachamim do under certain circumstances is a null. The Tosfos says that this is only done litakana v'lo litakala, only as a way, as a means of rectifying, not a means of ruining. Now again, just let's present it as what I think is the most reasonable way to present it, meaning that when the Chachamim see a situation in which we have a way of bettering the woman's life, right, and that is through this avenue of Hafkas Kedushin. So then the Chachamim are going to do that. What happened? The husband gave her a get, and then he nullified. The Chachamim said that's a disaster, right? It could lead to potential Mamzerim issues. It could lead to her being a Naguna issue. So you know what? We're basically going to do is we're going to reactivate the get. They can't reactivate a get. So again, annulment. Annulment now, and now she can move on with her life. So if the purpose of doing so is for a productive means, in that she now her life will go on, so then they'll do it. But lola takala. But if it's a takala, meaning there was a significant misstep, for example, adultery, then the chachamim are not going to go ahead and use this mechanism of hafkas kedushin to save from a takala. Even though here you could make the argument, there's also a takana, meaning you're going to have a child now who was once a mamzer is no longer a mamzer. Okay, that, but that's a collateral damage from the original act. The original act was takala. It was an act of adultery. So for that, the Chachmei Yisrael are not going to affect annulment if it's all it's doing is just saving from a takala. That's Tosos. It's a Yisod Gadol in terms of when the Chachamim issued Havka'ah, when the Chachamim did not issue Havka'ah. Okay. There is much more to discuss on this topic. This is a huge topic. All we did is just learn a Gemara, a couple of Rashis, a couple of Tosfosim, right? All we did was just introduce ourselves to the topic. There's obviously much more. We're going to go on. Tan Rabbanan, Amar La Asara, Kis Vuget Li Ishti. So a man says to 10 people, I want you to write a get for my wife. V'yachol Levato Zeh Shelo Bifnei Zeh Divrei Rebbe. So, in the event that an important point over here before I read on the Gemara, when he's instructing 10, so he did not say the word kulchem. So when you do not say the word kulchem and you're talking to a group of 10 people, so and you just simply say, I want you to write a get for my wife, so one's going to write and two are going to sign, meaning only 3 people have to get involved in the entire proceedings. So after doing that, yachol levatol zeh shelo bifnei zeh, divrei Rebbe. So according to Rebbe, you can be mevatel, and you can tell 2 of them, don't write it, and this is not an offense to the takana of Raman Gamliel. Meaning, remember, what did Raman Gamliel teach us? That as a takana, you can't be mevatel. Now, what if you did? So again, that's also machlokas that we just learned between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. But what we're discussing right now is that if I instructed 10 people to write the get, and again, I didn't say the word kulchem, and I turned to 2 of them and I said, you know what, 2 of you, I'm rescinding. I'm rescinding my instruction. That's not an affront to the takana of Raman Gamliel. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel omer, einu yachol vatol, ela zeh, bifnei zeh. Now, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says that the only way you could retract your instruction is only if you do so, all of them together, even though you didn't say the word kulchem. But my kamiflagi, so the Gemara explains now what's at the source of this halach, this machlokas is the following. And we have a general principle, and that is that when I have edus, when I have witnesses, where if some of them not get nullified, all of them get nullified. Meaning that we always look at a group of edim as a kat. We look at them as one collective group. And one goes down, they all go down. Comes up many times throughout the Gemara. So the Gemara now is suggesting is that Rebbe Savaidish Batla Miksasa Lo Batla Kula. So now, according to Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, so I'm sorry, let's start with Rebbe. I'm sorry, let me go in the correct order of the Gemara. Rebbe's of the opinion that Isha Batla Miksasa Lo Batla Kula. So Rebbe's of the opinion that just because I knocked out 2 or 4, in other words, just some of them, so that does not affect the others. And now what's going to happen? So now what the others are going to do is that they're going to, and with total allowance, to write the get and to deliver the get. Fine. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that when you have edus, where some of them get negated, all of them get negated. Now, for the 2 or 4 of them that you said, I'm nullifying you, so effectively what you've done is you've nullified all of them. The only problem is, and it's not a small one, is that the other ones didn't know about it. And so they think that you're still commissioned to write and sign a get, and meanwhile, they're not. Now they're going to write an unauthorized get. They just didn't know that they were unauthorized. They're going to write an unauthorized get, deliver the unauthorized get to her. She's not going to know that this is an unauthorized get. She'll get remarried, and obviously now the problem is we'll have mamzerim. That is one way to present the machlokus over here between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel in terms of knocking out some of the edim. Hold that thought. The Gemara says, no, maybe we'll say like this. According to everybody, if I knock out 2, that doesn't knock out the remaining 8. So So it just happens to be that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if you commission 10 to write, the only way, it's not an issue of a gezeira, the only way to decommission is only if I have all 10 of them present. If I don't have all 10 of them present, I simply cannot remove the remove my assignment. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So, as Rashi points out, look at the Rashi by Sema Lo Balakula, Inkan Gzera, meaning the way the second way the Gemara now is presenting this machlokis, it's not an issue of a Gzera. Ela Taimed Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lo Mishum, Takanahu, Elka Savra, Ein Bitulo Bito, Ashivata Bibne Kula. So it just happens to be that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, this is his reality of how to commission and decommission. You commission by if you turn to 10, even without saying the word kulchem, and you commission 10 of them to write, the 10 of them have to be included in the decommissioning. It's not a Rabbi Gamliel Takana issue. It's just that you cannot effectively decommission unless you do all 10. If that's true, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, now you understand what the problem is. The problem is that you commission, but you didn't properly decommission. And now, and since you didn't properly decommission, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to tell you, it's the only way to do so is only if you have all 10 there. So, So now, the Gemara is going to point out, if we understand the two different explanations of this machlokis, the Gemara is now going to understand, what if I had 10 people there, and I did say the word kulchem? Meaning, I'm instructing all of you to sign. My time to Rashi and Gamliel. Mishum de kasavre edish abalam excessa balakula. Vahana kevin da amalu kulchem lo matze kasve v'yave. So the Gemara says, now if the issue is an issue of gzera and we're concerned, over here there's no need to be concerned. Why? Because once you say kulchem, by definition, all of them have to be present. Well, if you're mevatel some, the others are going to find out about it. Because the only way they can write a get is all collectively together. But however, if it's a second explanation from Shimon Gamliel, not that it's a gzera, but rather it's just simply proper procedure. If I commission 10, the only way I can decommission is only if I have all 10 there. So it's not going to make a difference whether I say kulchem or I don't say kulchem. It's just the reality of the process of commissioning and decommissioning. I commission all 10 of them there. I can only decommission when all 10 of them are there. Tashma. The Gemara says on this, let's see. Now, let's say you instruct only two. Meaning, the question started off by you instructing 10. Now you're instructing only two. So Rebbe says, you can negate each one individually. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Ein Yachol Levatol Ela Ze Bifnei Ze, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. The only way you can decommission two is only by having both of them there. Now, two. What is two? It's equivalent to saying the word kulchem, because when you have two, you need both. The hashnaim dechi kulchem dami upligi. So you see that it's tantamount to kulchem, and you see that they're arguing. Meaning the second pshat in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel seems to be the correct pshat, which is, it's just proper procedure. If I commission a group of 10, the only way I can decommission is only with the entire group there. Am Ravashi be diksivach anami, Ravashi deflects. He says, if we were talking about witnesses of writing the get, your proof would have been great. But over here we're talking about witnesses to deliver the get. The Gemara says, if you read the end of the bright side, it seems to be that this is correct. Correct pshat. Why? If we're talking about the writing of the get, I can't assign one witness and then followed by another witness. Meaning that the only way that I could properly assign two people to write a get is only if they're both together. So this is good proof that we're not talking about Eid Iksiv, we're talking about Eid Halacha. To that, the Gemara just simply deflects, Dilma Rav Yeshua ben Karcha Svirilei. The Gemara says, no, maybe we're holding like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, who does allow these two witnesses to be assigned by themselves. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the with tomorrow's daf. We will continue on Shabbos.